international group of scientists say they found evidence that an ancient human relative, the species Homo naledi, buried their dead. The archaeological evidence may go back 140 to 240,000 years earlier than the earliest known human burials at Kafsa Cave in Israel. If this is true, it may change what we think we know about the evolution of our species and what it means to be human. What do you want to know about the evolution of our species, Homo sapiens, and how we got where we are today? Do you have questions about the discovery of the Homo naledi species and where and the discovery of thousands of bones of ancient human ancestors that have been discovered by our next guest? Join us 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. John Hawks is a professor and associate chair of anthropology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's a paleontologist helping to lead the field work in analysis of the Rising Star Cave in South Africa, where Homo naledi were first discovered. And John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this discovery of this species, Homo naledi, and how you came across it.
You know, we first discovered the bones in 2013. They are in a very, very deep part of the cave system that is actually it's accessible to us only through a 12-meter climb, about a 40-foot climb that has areas that are only about 7.5 inches wide. That is incredibly challenging. And our team that work in the cave system, they worked underground and recovered bones that we recognized were not like anything that we'd seen before that's a human relative. And so that was our discovery about 10 years ago. We named the species Homo naledi, and it is actually the largest fossil discovery in any single site in Africa.
How is the Homo naledi different than us, the Homo sapiens?
So Homo naledi lived around the same time as the earliest members of our species, Homo sapiens, between 250,000 and about 330,000 years ago. The species was different. It was similar to us in that it walked upright like we do. It was the size of kind of small statured people, so about between about 4'6" and about 5'2" tall. They walked like us. They were much better at climbing. Their pelvis is a little bit differently shaped than us. Their teeth tell us that they had a pretty high quality diet. They were eating a diet a lot like humans do, but their brains were only a third the size of ours. So they seem to share relationship with us sometime deep in our ancestry, more than a million years ago.
Wow. John, how has this discovery of the Homo naledi changed what we know about human history or the evolution of the genus we belong to?
A couple of really big points. One of them was that, you know, we learned that we weren't alone when we first evolved. You know, people know that humans today have an African origin. This species lived in South Africa at the same time that our species was originating in Africa. So, you know, we know that we've got ancient relatives. We didn't expect that we would have one right at the time and place where our species was getting started. And that was a big deal. The other was that this species must have had something going for it in order to survive alongside of other humans and human relatives that had brains that were three times its size. We wondered, what is going on with this species? How is it able to persist in an environment where it's competing potentially with other species that are really, you know, we think are cognitively better? And how did its bones wind up in this mysterious place?
John Hawks, is the hypothesis then that the cognitively bigger might not necessarily have equated to a cognitively better?
You know, what we're finding is that this species was using large parts of this deep cave environment. We found it in different parts of the cave system. In our most recent announcement, we show that at least two of the bodies that we found were placed into holes and covered. So they were buried. And we found engravings in the chamber where we have some of these bodies. And so that evidence combined says that maybe it's not big brains that are really driving some of our at least cognitive social abilities.
Yeah. So if we have evidence now, and if you've uncovered evidence in these caves in South Africa that there was a burial ritual, what does that imply about this species? And then what would you assume or what could we hypothesize about this species and its society?
You know, I think it's I look at ourselves, you know, we, every human culture in the world has some kind of ritual or practice that they do when someone dies. And they're varied. Some cultures, you know, maybe some that we're familiar with, bury bodies, right? And in a very characteristic way. But many of them do other kinds of things. They cremate, they have, you know, expose the body to scavengers sometimes. They put bodies into rivers. You know, there's an amazing diversity of things that people do. But they share something really core, which is that it's a social ritual that enables the entire society to recognize that someone has left and to comfort people who may be really grieving, who are closely connected to the person that's died. And that's something that is actually very core to our being. It's something that we explain to our young children when someone dies. Of course, today we have tremendous, you know, religious ideas that, you know, that the theology that's centered around what happens when people die. But those things are very particular to different cultures. What's shared is that all of us have grieving, all of us have mourning, and as a society, people come together to do something to recognize that they all share it. It's a really powerful statement that there's something about humans that we share that's actually deeper than our species.
Oh, man. John Hawks, our guest, paleontologist and professor and associate chair of anthropology at UW-Madison. We go to your questions now at 1-800-642-1234. Marcus in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi. So my question, Professor, is I've noticed that it seems like different groups, what were previously on the Homo sapien, like our family tree, you have Denisovans, you have Neanderthals, you have Homo naledi, and they're all so Homo floresiensis, and they're all so spread out. It seems like they've almost been put onto like certain parts of the map to keep them separated, like it was a seeding type experiment. And I guess I'd like your thoughts on that. And on burials, wouldn't that indicate that they had belief in God or some sort of afterlife or religion when you start having ritualistic type burials?
Is there a suggestion of the belief system in place there, John?
That's a great question. And I'll just take the second question first. You know, today people all over the world share, they all have some kind of mortuary ritual or funerary ritual. And that is constant in every culture, despite the huge variation they have in religious beliefs. Many cultures in the world don't have a conception of an afterlife. Many of them have, you know, different conceptions. And this element is something that all of them share. So I wouldn't ascribe to any ancient group something very particular to some cultures in the world today. It's something deeper than our religious ideas in a way.
And what about Marcus? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. We have in the last couple of decades just tremendously discovered new things. Some of those discoveries like ours are coming from fossil exploration. Some of them are coming from genetic work. And I'm here in New York right now at a memorial conference, actually, for Richard Leakey. Richard died last year. He was a tremendous explorer and motivated work in Kenya and really was an inspiration to many of us. And what I'm learning here is just how much there is still to discover. You know, we've got fossil hominins in many parts of the world, but the parts that we have a lot of knowledge of are parts that we've worked for a long time. There is a lot of places where our work has only just started. And I think that you're going to see that we're going to begin filling up the map even more than it is already.
How exciting to find out that we still have so much more to find out. We're talking with John Hawks, UW-Madison paleontologist, about his work analyzing the remains of our human ancestor, the Homo naledi, found in the Rising Star Cave in South Africa. It is northwest of Johannesburg, as I understand it. And we'll continue our conversation, maybe hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn. And coming up, the local news industry continues to shrink with layoffs and newspapers downsizing or shutting down, we'll talk to one of the organizers of a new coalition that aims to revitalize local journalism. But right now, we're picking up our talk with UW-Madison paleoanthropologist John Hawks about new evidence that the Homo naledi, an ancient species related to us, may have buried their own dead and what that may mean to us. You can join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. We'll go to Ben in Sparta next. Ben, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
New evidence that the Homo
Hi, Professor Hawks. I'm interested in what your current thinking is about the relationship. You know, the old idea of the relationship body-brain ratio, total neuronal mass, and what we think of as intelligence, but there's been research with other animals, other species, birds, and other species exhibiting behaviors that we previously thought were too complex for the size of their brains. This discovery seems to follow up on that. So if, in fact, it's not the total number of neurons that contributes to intelligence, how does that work, in your opinion?
Interesting. Thank you, Ben. John?
So we've examined the inside surface of the skulls of Homo naledi. We've got some really high detailed evidence there. There's a limited amount that we can say about the organization of ancient brains from the fossil record. The brain is an organ that unfortunately doesn't fossilize, but we can see a few details about its shape from its external surface. That's an imprint on the inside surface of the skull. What we can see between humans and some of our very early hominin relatives is the frontal lobe is organized a little differently today. We've actually expanded parts of the frontal lobe that we today use for organizing language and have expanded parts of the frontal lobe relative to the other parts of the brain. With Homo naledi, see evidence that they had a human-like brain organization, at least in that respect. And that leads us to think that there may be something about the wiring of the brain that matters more than the sheer size of it. But that's not to say that size isn't relevant. You know, I don't know what Homo naledi's behavioral capacities would have been in many aspects. I think that when we look at humans today and think, wow, you know, the brain solves every problem, we actually have to look at a finer resolution. We have to understand that we actually use different solutions for different problems, and that involves different brain tissues, and some problems that maybe we're really good at today are things that our big brain helps with, but some of these aspects that we consider to be deeply human actually might have originated earlier than big brains.
John Hawks, UW-Madison paleoanthropologist, joining us and answering your questions at 1-800-642-1234 about what he and his team have uncovered in the cave systems in South Africa. We'll go to Dennis in Two Rivers next. Dennis, good afternoon.
Hi. I was just thinking as far as, what's really the distinguishing between human and human-like? Because, I think people used to think, it was only humans that would use tools, but then, chimpanzees have been shown to use some tools, and it would seem kind of using tools to dig a hole to put dead in would be quite an undertaking.
John, part of your discovery seems to have been the suggestion that there may have been a tool buried with one of these Homo naledi. Is that correct?
It's entirely fascinating. In fact, I have news from one of my collaborators this morning. We have one of our burials. When we encountered bone, we removed it from the cave system in a plaster jacket, just like you would do a dinosaur bone to protect it. And our team had to bring it out of the narrow passageway. And once they were able to do that, we put it into a CT scanner and we visualized what was inside. That was how we discovered, you know, really intact parts of a skeleton that were there. And near the hand bones of this skeleton was an artifact, a rock that was elongated, that had a sharp edge. Huh. And in the CT scan, we were like, wow, this is amazing. We have left all of this in the plaster jacket. We're not disrupting it in any way. We're using only virtual data for it. But to get better imagery of this rock, we actually had to take the whole thing to France to put in a special scanner that uses a synchrotron radiation to high energy microtomography. And we have imagery of this rock that is at the nanoscale. We have just amazing images. It's super interesting. it's not really characteristic of stone tools that we recognize by intentional multiple flaking being made, right? This is a very simple object. We don't know for sure that Homo naledi made it, but it is in a super interesting context in a place where we don't have any other rocks and we haven't found any other like this. And it's one of the sort of enigmatic parts of this. As scientists, we're like, okay, what do we do next? And in fact, my team is finding out new things to do with it. So it's going to be fun.
What are some of the arguments against the hypothesis that this is a burial site, that there is evidence that this Homo naledi had to some degree a ritual for the dead and a way to mourn those that are lost?
You know, really, it's complicated when we're looking at ancient artifacts and ancient sites. When we talk about what happened to a body at the time of death today, we're talking about forensic science. You know, we're talking about really, you know, you want as much evidence as possible. The archaeological record degrades that evidence over time. And so as you know, the evidence that we have, we, you know, can compare to early human burials, to Neanderthal burials, to other examples that we have, and we can show that a hole was dug here. A body was covered in it. But that's extremely hard to document at the level that a forensic scientist would. And so, you know, we do have archaeologists who are like, yeah, okay, you've shown me that there was a depression in the floor of the cave, but I really want, you know, hard evidence that this was actually buried at the time. We're fortunate that we have two examples, and they both present what we view as very strong evidence. But, you know, part of the scientific process is that degree of skepticism. And we have to expect that people are going to say, you know, we thought that this was a human behavior. We really, really want some very, very hard evidence for this. And that's what we do our best to provide.
Could you give us a brief, and I've only got about a minute here, John, explanation of what you are up to next and where your team will be looking to go forward?
We have not only this site, but a number of other sites with other species that we're investigating. But in Rising Star, we are really focused right now on doing a detailed mapping of the cave system with scanning, looking for more cultural evidence. We have to, you know, we have additional pieces of wall that are engraved in parts of the system, and we have to understand what the total system, what's there, to be able to possibly reconstruct something about the culture of this ancient human.
John Hawks, we look forward to talking to you again. So thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
John Hawks is professor and associate chair of anthropology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He talked to us today about his work with remains of ancient human relatives found at the Rising Star Cave in South Africa.